Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Donna.
I love to be close to you. If I'm up there, I have to bring binoculars so I can see everybody back there. So I am always delighted to be here. I love coming down here and seeing all the people and the dogs. And I'm always sad that there's no cats represented here because I'm like, cats are my favorite. And I love people too. It's just that you're like third in line. So I like to always find things that we celebrate. You know, if you go online, there's all kinds of things that are being celebrated. Why are you behind me?
Sorry, I'm just scared the back of your lung.
I'd rather you come down here. Thank you very much. And I want to know who that friend is that we were talking about. You can tell me later. Anyway. Today is National Mother-in-Law Day. How many want to celebrate mother-in-laws? Pretty much nobody. How many of you are a mother-in-law? Are a mother-in-law? We've got a few of us. Yeah. So many people have issues with their mother-in-law. I don't know why that is, because we're nice people, aren't we?
Yes.
Yes. After all. We put up with our in-law children just fine. But you know, it is easy to have issues with other people. Sometimes we don't admit it, but we hold it inside, but we don't like that person, and we don't like something that another person did or whatever. We hold that inside. And I'm gonna be talking today about forgiveness. So that's why I brought it up. Today is also, or actually this month is also positive attitude. Someone does. 100% of the time. Excuse me. Trying to get this out. Well, anyway, you know, we like to think that we have a positive attitude, but we all have a day every now and then that isn't our favorite day. How many are having a good day today?
Yeah.
How many are having just, a day? Maybe not so good. Maybe you're feeling a little frustrated or under the weather or something, and those things happen. It's part of being human. We have days that are not optimal that we want to be in. Maybe you jump out of bed in the morning and you miss the floor. You know, that can happen. It's really frustrating when that happens. Maybe you are driving down the freeway and your horn suddenly comes on and won't turn off, and you find there's a whole bunch of Hell's Angels right in front of you. That can turn into a bad day somehow, maybe. Maybe you put your bra on backwards and it fits better. That is so demoralizing, really. You know, all kinds of things happen that take our focus away from being happy and being peaceful. And we want to be peaceful, right? Spiritual Light Center is a place of peace, as Bill said. And we are our whole planet. That's where we want to be, and that's what we're moving into. But we can't be peaceful if we are holding on to all this stuff that we hold on to. We may not even be aware that we're holding on to things. I know people, I've talked to people who love to tell their story. And there was someone I knew that she loved to tell how when she was a child, her parents were all kinds of bad things. And that's why she was the way she is now. And she loved that story because she would tell her story to someone. My parents did this to me and did that to me. And I've had all these issues all these years because I'm so sorry that happened. And that makes you feel good. It makes you feel validated. And so a lot of people like to hold on to their old stories so that they can feel like other people understand. But you know what? That's not working anymore. These are the times we are in that we have to let go of those things that happened way back when. You might say, well, my husband cheated on me 40 years ago and I'm never going to forgive him. Then you're holding that kind of energy. And that energy is being held in our auric field. If you know about the auric field or the biofield, it's the energy that we're made of, really, the energy right around us. And all of those things, negative thoughts that we have, the judgments that we have, the lack of forgiveness, even for little things that we think we let go of years ago, but it's still in there. A lot of people will tell their story of how terrible life has been to them, and then they'll say, but it's okay, I'm over it. If you're still telling the story, you are not over it. And these are the times when we need to get over it. And it's not always easy, is it? Because stuff happens. Things happen that we don't like. And we may be hurt by some things that people do or say. Maybe someone just looked at you and said, why are you wearing that horrible color? It doesn't do you any good. The little things like that can hurt our feelings, and then we mull over it all day long and think about it. Those are little things. There are some things that are really horrible to have to forgive, right? I read a book not long ago. I brought it with me because I have to pronounce the author's name. Her name is Immaculée Elibigiza. She was a young woman in Rwanda. She survived the 1994 genocide in Rwanda. And when she was living there, she grew up with a wonderful family. Her parents were very loving, very kind. She had four brothers, and they just had a wonderful upbringing. And it was a beautiful place to live in Rwanda. Anybody been to Rwanda before? Maybe not. And she had a peaceful life until 1994. Apparently in Rwanda, there are two different tribes of people. I don't remember the names of those tribes, and I probably couldn't say them anyway, but the one tribe did not like the other tribe and decided to get rid of them. And they literally massacred millions of them. It was a horrible time in Rwanda. Maybe you're familiar with the history of that. So Immaculée, her parents and three of her four brothers had already been slaughtered. I mean, literally slaughtered in the streets, bodies everywhere in that whole town, city. So anyway, she found a place where she could take refuge. It was a minister's house, and she went to him and said, could you please hide me? I'm afraid. And so reluctantly, he took her in. He didn't have much room, but he took her in. And he had a small bathroom that was in his office bedroom that really, they didn't use it very much. It was very tiny, like a powder room, probably smaller than this bathroom back here. So he put her in there, and he said, all right, you can stay in here, but you have to be absolutely quiet, because the people that were killing people would just break into the house. You know, you never knew when they were coming. It might be the middle of the night, might be in the daytime. And so he hid her in there. And eventually, seven other women came looking for refuge. So there were seven women plus her, that's eight women, in this tiny room. There was not enough room for them to even sit down at the same time, so they took turns sitting down. They had to be absolutely quiet, because you never knew if someone could be outside the window. It was a high window, but someone could hear if you were talking. They were in there for 3 months. He would bring food in once a day. Other than that, that was it. No talking, nothing. It was a horrible time. And the name of the book is called Left to Tell. She was left alive so she could tell her story. And the subtitle is Discovering God Amidst the Rwanda Holocaust. Wayne Dyer used to have her do the opening whenever he would have events. And she lectures, excuse me, she eventually made it to this country. After the Holocaust was over, she escaped and made it to the United States, and she often does lectures talking about how her faith was strengthened. She had to go through the forgiveness process. And that wasn't an overnight thing. It took her probably years to be able to forgive those people. So as you can see, there's little things that we have to forgive, and then there's huge things that we can't even imagine having to forgive. Oftentimes, we don't even know the bigger picture, what motivates people to do something. I'm reminded of a woman who was standing in line to go into a theater. And all of a sudden, she was whacked in the head with an umbrella. She turned around in a rage, and she said, how dare you hit me with that umbrella? And then she saw that it was a blind man, and he was simply trying to find his way. And so immediately, that rage or anger turned into compassion. we need to know more details before we decide we're not going to forgive someone or we're going to be angry. There was a company one time that was losing money. And there was loan around among the employees there. And so they decided, we're going to hire a new CEO. So they hire the CEO, and he decides he's going to show them who's boss. He's going to whip all these employees into line, and no more slackers. So he walks into a big office room once, and he sees all the people that kind of suddenly look at their computers and look like they're working. But there's one guy that's just kind of standing against the wall, not really doing much of anything. He walks up to him and he says, "Hey, you, how much money do you make in a week?" The guy says, $400. The CEO says, "Stay right here, I'll be right back." He goes to his office. He comes back with a whole handful of cash, $1,600 of cash. He shoves it in the guy's hand and he said, "Here's four weeks' pay. Now you get out of here and don't you come back." He feels real proud of himself. He's going to show those employees he's not messing around with them, right? As he's leaving the room, he looks back and he said, "Well, somebody tell me what that guy did here anyway." And somebody calls out, "He was the Domino's pizza man delivering pizza." So it's important that we really get all the facts before we start being angry with someone. You know, people may say something that seems very rude. There was Mary Morrissey is a best-selling author, and she's my mentor. And she remembers going into a grocery one time, and the woman, she realized that she had been overcharged for something. So she told the cashier that was $3, not $6. And the woman kind of slammed it down and made a big production of changing it to the right thing, even though she was the one that made the mistake. And Mary was kind of taken back by that. And when she got out to her car, a young man had helped her take her groceries out to the car. And she decided she's going to gossip what she doesn't normally do. But she said to the guy, "Oh, the rudest cashier I've ever seen. I'm surprised they would allow someone like that to work here." And the young man said, "Yeah, she's having a really hard day. Her little boy was hit by a car yesterday, and she wants to be in the hospital with them, but she's a single mom. She needs the money. She has to be here." So immediately, that anger at someone being rude turned into compassion. And so when we understand what motivates someone to do something, we can then move into compassion and let go of that rage or anger. I told the story of a woman in Rwanda, and I want to talk a little about the Dalai Lama. But first, let me give a quote from the Course in Miracles. The Course in Miracles says that all disease comes from a state of unforgiveness. Whenever we are ill, we need to look around to see who it is we need to forgive. Lack of forgiveness hurts us. It doesn't hurt the other person. You know, we need to forgive people, not because they deserve forgiveness, but because we deserve peace. So it's important that we be able to let go of our anger and forgive the people. That is not at all to condone what they did. It's really not to say it's okay what you did. No, it isn't. But it's to release what we have been holding on to inside, because that, as I said before, it's in our auric field, and eventually it can come into our bodies. Remember Louise Hay? Some of you might have read some of Louise Hay books about different emotions that land in our body. For instance, if you carry a lot of anger, that can end up in your liver. And eventually, if you don't work your way through that, it can cause a disease. If you are hurt, broken about something, it can land in your heart. So in order to be healthy, we do need to be moving, processing our emotions out. So Mary Morrissey had an opportunity to go be with the Dalai Lama. Actually, three times. She was a small audience with him for a week at a time. And she remembered, you know, he is so filled with joy and peace. And she was amazed by that because, you know, he was actually ousted from his country. For 40 years, he's been whatever the word is, and not allow into Tibet. He had to watch many of the monks there be totally murdered in front of everyone. The temples were brought down by the Chinese government. And so she asked the Dalai Lama, how is it that you can be so peaceful in your life, having gone through all that? And here's what he said. He said, every one of us has friends. Friends easy to love, friends easy to forgive. And then we have sacred friends. Very difficult to forgive sacred friends, very difficult. He said, Chinese government, my sacred friend. I would never have developed the heart that I have, compassionate heart, without Chinese government. Chinese government makes so difficult to forgive that I had to get very, very big heart. And I have to keep very big heart. It's a challenge. So after all that he went through and not being able to go back to his country for over 40 years, he is still filled with joy and peace because he learned to forgive. And it took a long time. And as he said, it's very difficult. We imagine what Jesus went through to say, forgive them for they know not what they do. And so whenever we think about what other people have gone through like that, and then we think, gee, I've been holding on to this little issue I have with my sister that, you know, she yelled at me when I was 3 years old, and I'm just not going to get over that. It's time to get over these little things. It's time to get over the big things as well. And so the Dalai Lama taught a loving-kindness meditation. And he said, you always have to start with yourself. We have to love ourselves before we love anyone else. And so he said, here, you just simply say this prayer. May I be truly happy. May I live in peace. May I live in love. May I know the power of forgiveness. And may I live in the recognition that my life has a deep meaning and good purpose. And so you do that for a while for yourself. And then you start saying that prayer for different people that you love, people in your family, whether it's your children, your parents, your spouse, friends. And you use their name. May Mary be truly happy. May Mary live in peace. May Mary live in love. May Mary know the power of forgiveness. And may Mary live in the recognition that her life has deep meaning. And so you do that for various people you love. And then you bring in the person that you have an issue with. It might be someone that did something egregious. Maybe you were molested as a child, whatever it is. Or maybe it's just you have a little issue with your mother-in-law. And so you use that person's name, and you begin to say that prayer for that person. And it doesn't happen overnight, but in time, that energy just kind of dissipates, and you really do are able to release the energy that you have been holding on to all that time. So how do we move from resentment to forgiveness? Someone once said it simply means to be willing. If you are willing to let go of your grievances, willing to let go of your anger and frustration, and turn that into compassion, turn it into forgiveness, that's the first step, be willing. There's a story that Mary Morrissey told about a man named Al. Now, Al was a tough guy. He had always been tough. He had, in his younger days, he was a biker, a motorcycle guy. Not that there's anything bad about that, but he was in a gang. And he got into drugs. He got into car stealing. He spent a few years in prison. And while he was in prison, he realized that if he doesn't change his ways, he's going to keep having the same experience. So he started in an AA group while he was in prison. And one day he had a spiritual experience where he felt a presence around him. And this was new to him. He had never felt anything like that. And so he really decided he has to become a better person. Eventually he got out of prison. He met a woman, fell in love. They got married. They had a really good marriage for about 12 years. And they were happy and he was peaceful. And then they had some marital issues for the next couple of years, and things were going downhill in the marriage. And then they separated. But he really loved his wife. He wanted to get her back in his life. And she kept saying no, she didn't want to come back. But he held on to the belief that he could get her back. He really had to talk to someone, and he had a good friend named Bruce. And so he started to tell Bruce his whole saga about the marriage. And Bruce was a good listener, really supported Al. And this went on for many, many months, until suddenly Al found out that Bruce was having an affair with his wife. And Al was so hurt and so angry, and he wanted to revert to his old ways, where he met everything with anger and with violence. And he wanted to take Bruce out. He wanted to punch him. He wanted to kill him. And he didn't know how to handle all that anger that came up. He couldn't forgive him. So he came to Mary Morrissey, who was also a therapist and a counselor, and he told her the whole story. And Mary listened to him and said, I understand, you know, any of us would feel hurt when something like that happens. But she said, you know, there's only one thing you can do. You're gonna have to forgive Bruce. And he said, forgive Bruce, I want to kill that guy. I'm not going to forgive. He went on and on and on. She said, I know, I'm understanding you feel that way right now. And it won't happen overnight, but you have to forgive him. Forgive him, I'm not going to forgive him. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She said, what I want you to do is this. I want you to pray for Bruce every single day. Now, you can start the prayer however you want, but eventually I want you to be able to say, may Bruce be truly happy and do well. That's all I'm asking. You just do that every day. Well, he, of course, refused to do that, but he left. A couple of weeks later, he came back to see Mary again, and he looked more peaceful. She said, oh, you're looking different. What's going on? He said, well, I did what you said. I prayed for Bruce. He said, I started the prayer. You said I could say it started anyway. I started the prayer, God, if a truck doesn't smash him flat first, may Bruce be truly happy and do well. He said, if a train doesn't run over him and cut off his legs, may Bruce be happy and do well. And he did that. And of course, in the beginning, he was focused more on all the bad things that were happening to Bruce. But he said, you know, the oddest thing happened. I kept saying this over and over, and eventually I didn't really feel any more about all those bad things happening. You know, I really did wish him well. I don't know why I just kind of lost all that. He was still angry and still hurt, still very hurt, but he just didn't have it in him to wish bad on Bruce anymore. And he said, and I love my wife, so obviously I want her to be happy. So it wasn't an overnight thing, but he kept saying that prayer, whether he believed it or not. And it really does work. When we can really hold in our heart the other person who did something that hurt us. We never know what motivates someone. You know, we've heard the phrase that hurt people, have you heard that phrase? People who get hurt and they feel like a victim. And there's a certain stage that we humans go through where we want to get even with that person that hurt us. And sometimes it's really a bad hurt. So many people were finding out were abused as children, sexually, physically, all different ways. And yet they didn't know how to express it. They didn't know how to deal with those hurts and those emotions. And so they just kept it inside. And maybe when they're an adult and they start having all kinds of issues, and maybe they come to a point where they need to find out, what's this all about? Why am I having these problems? Why do I keep bringing people into my life that are doing the same thing to me that happened to me back then? And really, that's a wonderful opportunity. They're coming into your life to give you another opportunity to deal with the feelings, deal with the emotions, and learn how to really release that. So I'm not saying it's pleasant when people come into our lives that betray us, betray our trust or anything, but if you look at the bigger picture, they're doing our soul a favor. They are helping us to once again have the opportunity to learn forgiveness. I think we're moving through times right now where we can't wait another year to do our forgiveness work. We can't wait another month or another week. It has to be done now. We have to start now. And a lot of us think, well, I don't have anyone to forgive. Who do I have to forgive? We all have forgiveness work to do. Maybe your forgiveness work deals with some of the things going on in the news. Maybe you see some politician doing something you don't like, and so maybe you're talking to your friends about how awful it is that he did that and she did that, and all of these people are killing other people. All the things going on the planet. These are all things we have to work on for forgiveness. Because I'm sure there's something somewhere, someone did something to someone somewhere or sometime that you have a judgment about. And when we judge something, that means we are needing to forgive it, needing to see what would motivate a person. Maybe we don't know the whole story, right? So I just invite us to really give some thought. If you have an ache or a pain somewhere, could it mean that there's something in your life that you're holding on to? A little grudge. Just a little grudge about somebody. I don't like the way that person looked at me. I don't like the way that person talked to me. You don't know what they were going through at the time. So maybe we can move more into compassion, more into forgiveness. It's a process. It's a daily process for every one of us. If we're still on the planet, that means we still have a little bit of forgiveness work, or maybe a lot. So thank you for letting me share my thoughts with you today. I appreciate being here with you, and I love all of you. And so I say namaste, which means the light in me sees the light in all of you. Thank you.